Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. That's fitbod.me/zabe. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Today, plausibly live, it's the ZabeCast.
No. We'll do it live! Fuck it! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Today's guest, sports radio lifer and DC Jewish Sports Hall of Famer, Andy Pollin.
See?
And now, let's get to yakking.
Here we go!
Monday, March 11, 2024. Thank you for downloading. We are here for a good time, not a long time. So let's get right to it. Andy Pollin, how was your weekend, my friend?
Oh, it was okay. I mean, we had rain on Saturday, so that kept me in most of the day. And
wind and cold on Sunday, but it's going to get beautiful in the DMV by midweek. So you're going to be out biking. I'm going to be out hitting golf balls, if not chipping and putting, maybe playing. And the lines of people waiting to buy begonias at Home Depot in the garden center is going to be out the door. Spring fever, baby. Here it comes.
Yeah.
And then, of course, at night, basketball. Are you excited for March Madness?
Well, yes and no. I can't believe I watched an entire women's game today and was really excited by it. Really.
And which one was that?
That was the Iowa victory.
Okay.
Where Caitlin Clark was great, and Nebraska was great too. I mean, it went to overtime.
But you would only have watched it because of Caitlin Clark. You're not going to watch a non-Caitlin Clark women's game, which leads to a very good question I saw posed this week, which is it a movement or a moment with Caitlin Clark and the surge in popularity of the women's game?
Probably a moment, unless there are more that come along. But we also had another layer to this today with the fight between LSU South Carolina. So, you know, the intensity, the stars, a lot of the things that attracted us to the men's game, the women are really having a better year with it this year.
Yeah, well, the South Carolina LSU game ended with six players ejected. After late in the game, LSU's Flauje Johnson was shoved to the floor late in the fourth quarter. Gamecock guard Milesia Fulwilly had stolen the ball from Johnson, who wrapped her up and was called for an intentional foul. That set things off. Benches cleared. You know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I think the average male viewer likes to see women getting in a scrap.
Oh, yeah. Nothing like a cat fight, right?
Well, it just shows you that they're not fucking around out there. They're competing. And that's what people want to see. Now, back to Caitlin Clark for a second. I was thinking about this quite a bit when I was out in Arizona and also flying home on the plane. Her story is the perfect story, and she's the dynamic player that can draw eyeballs because of her shooting distance. And it doesn't hurt that she's white. Let's not kid ourselves. I'm not saying it's racist per se to not be as big of a fan of a very good black women's college player, but the Iowa plus all-American white girl plus shooting that she's like Steph Curry makes her this perfect story. Does that make any sense to you?
I would say that the whiteness is a factor, but a small factor. I think it's the shooting that makes it remarkable, and that she's not just shooting threes. She's shooting threes from the logo.
Right.
You know.
If she was just a good post player who put up big numbers.
Oh, yeah.
And let's say she was African-American and she was not at a school that had this sort of idyllic vibe about it. Like, Iowa is, it has the best branding of being the pure place on earth. As seen in the movie Field of Dreams. Am I in heaven? No, you're in Iowa.
Right.
Boom.
There's some of that.
And, so I don't know how translatable this momentum will be in the years to come, because I don't know if there's going to be as perfect of an avatar of, wow, you could really latch on to this player and watch a game.
Yes, but I think that there will be more shooters that are coming along, because you got to remember the evolution. You know, when you and I were learning how to play and they didn't have a three-point line, hey, what are you shooting from out there? You need to work the ball inside to get the best percentage shot. And now we have a whole generation, if you can make it from the logo, shoot it from the logo. Go ahead. It's worth three.
Speaking of the record with Caitlin Clark and Pistol Pete Maravich, one of your favorites, Andy.
I know.
What are your thoughts on people forcing this narrative of she broke his record?
They're both had incredible numbers. There were some extenuating circumstances with Pete in college basketball.
Yeah, list them.
Look, he was a great player, and you will never admit that. And that's
bullshit.
Fine.
Bullshit. Then stop, Your Honor. I objection. Objection, Your Honor. Pistol Pete was one of the all-time greats. He could not play in today's game, is what I say.
I don't know about that, because he was obsessive about practice, and he would have become a 40% three-point shooter. But be that as it may.
Right, let's not relitigate that. But for the record, he was a supernova of a superstar of a phenom in his day. Continue, and counselor.
And he had his dad as the coach with a continual green light. He played against very few African-American players, if any, in league play.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. The Southeast Conference was not integrated when he played.
Not brought up very much now, is it?
That was a factor. There's no question about it.
But then when they did finally integrate, the rule was you start three black guys if you're at home, four on the road, and then five if you're trailing in the game late. That was
something
the joke.
Like that. Yeah. I mean, he played after the famous Brown versus Board of Education game, Texas Western beating all white Kentucky, but it was the Southeast Conference. Yeah.
And the league was slow to integrate. Okay. So that. Did he also not only play 3 years versus four?
3 years, no 3-point line.
And no 3-point line.
No shot clock either. So there were things both ways, but how many players have a coach who say, just keep shooting, Pete, no matter what.
Now someone said that Dale Brown went back and watching old video and film of Pistol Pete, calculated the number of shots that would have been threes. And by that calculation, he would have averaged 57 points per game. Do you buy it?
Well, to some degree, but you also got to remember that if there was a 3-point line, they would have gone out to defend him out there. It was like, it's only worth two, Pete. You want to shoot from there?
Right.
Tigers, shoot, you know? And so he made some. So there might have been more of those defended, those shots that he hit out there.
But I don't think there's enough tape or even video or film of Pistol Pete playing to accurately get a gauge on how many of his shots would have been threes.
Well,
like
would have been
every game was not televised back then.
No, but the coaches, I'm sure, had film. They shot Super 8 film. But yeah, no, there are very few games that were televised. I don't ever remember watching Pete play in college. I remember him playing in the pros and saw him in person a couple of times, but I don't remember him being on TV.
I just think it's painfully dumb to try to conflate women's records with men's records.
I agree.
Because they're different sports. And someday, if you want to, some man could claim to have erased a woman's record. And that would be stupid, right? If you said, oh, this guy erased her record. Get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, what guy would be puffing out his chest about that?
Well, nobody. I would hope no guy would. And I would certainly know that the media wouldn't as well. So, with that said, let me pivot here to an electronic piece of mail. You can always reach me at zabe@yahoo.com. And this one comes to us via Phil Peterson of Denmark, Wisconsin. Okay? So, he is a listener who is not of the DMV. He says, I really like Andy. He's always a quick yes when my wife and I are in the car coming and going to the Y for our morning classes. However, the whole Jewishness angle, your walk up to him is really heavy on the, he's Jewish. Oh yeah, he's also a really capable radio sports pro. What does Andy think about this? The fact that he's Jewish really doesn't mean crap to me, but just knowing Andy that I do, he'll probably say, eh, whatever. It just seems to bring up a point that is really irrelevant. What's relative is his incredible depth of knowledge from years past and how he's able to bring that into relevancy for today's sports reporting world. So there you go, Andy.
Yes. Well, look, I wear my Jewishness on my sleeve. As you know, we've known each other for well over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I incorporate Yiddish into my conversation. Mm-hmm. Whether I'm talking to you or whether I'm doing it on the air, I find certain Yiddish words to be more descriptive. So that's why I throw them in. Most people don't know what they mean, but they just have the right sound for the particular moment that I'm using them.
Right. You are a proud Jew.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And as well you should. And also I should point out, having known Andy for a long time and Scott Lynn for a long time and Steve Solomon for a long time and several other fine Jewish fellas, it's being Jewish is not just a religion. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's a culture, my friends. It is about traditions and family, and we do this, but we don't really do that. Now, Andy likes to exaggerate on the whole Jews don't blank, and then he'll say fish or do carpentry or whatever it is.
Yeah, there are stereotypes that I promote. I agree.
Right, exactly. And I have reveled in and wanted to gain honorary Jewishness over the years, and Andy has said to me repeatedly,
No, you have to. We don't recruit. We don't recruit. Number two, if you want to get in, you have to earn it. Right. You have to show that you really want to do this.
Right.
This isn't filling out a form and getting a jacket. It doesn't work that way.
You can't be like Whatley and Seinfeld, who became Jewish just for the jokes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You got to pay for it. So I never achieved any official status, but I have always enjoyed just sort of bathing in the Yiddish and the traditions and learning the idiosyncrasies of Andy and others. So that's the bottom line. So you don't mind it, I guess, is for the record.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, Phil goes on to say, just my take, listening to the podcast with my wife is a wonderful bonding experience. Keep up the good work. Say hi to Andy. Sincerely, Phil Peterson of Denmark, Wisconsin. Phil, thank you, my friend. And I concur that Andy bring all that great historical perspective to the pod.
And I have contributed large amounts of money to your state, putting a daughter through college at the University of Wisconsin. So
that's
there
right.
There you go.
That's right. Exactly. Okay. All right. Item number three, daylight savings time. Mm-hmm. I am 1,000% on hashtag team change the clock. I mock those who bellyache twice a year. Oh, God, I hate the Wizards. Why don't we just make it one time? Or, oh, my sleep pattern's going to be all messed up. Shut your stupid, lazy face. For anyone that doesn't understand daylight savings time, let me explain it as simply as I can. You ready? In the dead of summer, right around the solstice, June 21st, 21st, 22nd, something like that. 21st. Longest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. 1 hour of golden daylight from 8 to 9 p.m. is greater sign 1 hour of blinding daylight that wakes you up at 5 a.m. What part of that don't you get? Sorry, I'm yelling, aren't I?
Yes, you are. But that's okay. You're passionate.
Well,
and you're,
why don't people get that?
I don't know. But you're a golfer, and I know people who play golf and sometimes knock off work at like 4 o'clock and can get 9 holes in before, you know, it turns dark. So,
right.
I think that's a great thing for you. I'm an early morning person, so I like the daylight early. And when I do ride my bike on the weekends, I like to get out before 7 and, before they switch the clock, it's usually dark then. So I'm all in on this. It's fine.
For those people that say, well, you know, we should just leave it, you know, one time. Well, in the winter, then if we did not change it, if we did not fall back, it wouldn't be sunrise till 8 a.m. in some parts of the country.
Yeah, I lived that when I was a sophomore in high school. I remember this. It was something to do with energy, and they decided not to turn the clocks back, right, be the fall. So, yeah, it was dark, until we were well
into
school.
Yeah,
it's too
late.
To the bus stop in the dark, and kids were getting hurt. You know, it was not a good situation.
Right.
So,
it's just dumb. We have a finite amount of daylight during each season as our calendar goes through its cycle. So we adjust it twice a year to make the most efficient use of that daylight. And it's not hard. The only hard thing now, I woke up this morning going, looking at my watch and my iPhone going, did my iPhone already account for daylight savings? Because I'm pretty sure it's set to do that. It was only when I looked at the clock on my stove that I realized, okay, good. My iPhone already said I'm moving you ahead an hour. And then I took literally 13 seconds to change the time on the clock or on the stove and on the microwave. And then one other mechanical clock in our living room. And we're done.
Yeah.
Not hard, people.
Except my car. And I have to wait to give my daughter a ride before I'll be able to change the clock in the car. That's somehow I can't quite get that.
Right.
But other than that, I'm
there
okay.
There you go. All right. Item number three. How about Kyle Filipowski now? The tripping bitch from Duke. Boy, did this story take a full, perfect Duke-like arc in the span of a week and a half. As he was attempting to trip a UNC player, he didn't get called for anything, did he?
No.
And Jay Billis barely mentioned it on the broadcast.
Shulman and Billis, I think, are great, but I was watching live and I was a little disappointed that they didn't say, whoa, look at this.
Right. It's just embarrassing. So for everyone that was all up in arms about, oh my God, we got a banned court storming. What can we do? And Jay Billis said, arrest people that go on the court. And now you got Filipowski willingly tripping a UNC player, getting away with it. Sort of like Grayson Allen. Grayson Allen was the worst tripper probably in college basketball in recent memory.
But to be fair to Billis, that was not the first time I heard it suggested that there be an arrest.
Well, I didn't say they should. I said if you wanted to, you could round them up with a rope and then charge them $5,000. That's if you wanted to really crack down. I said I could go either way. If you're hell-bent on cracking down on it, then you got to get serious. Here's how I'd do it. But I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think Filipowski tried to trip the fan with his leg the first time.
I wouldn't go for that far. But
why not? Was... After seeing this, don't you go, oh, wait, that's his tripping leg.
I don't know. I don't know if you can tie those together. But that this one was bad. You see him lift the leg. And if the guy had, you know, smashed his knee or something on the floor.
Oh, can you imagine?
Been something. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And Carolina swept Duke with a big win at Cameron Indoor. Their white guy shooter just went off for them on Saturday night.
But they're by the way, 6-year, 25-year-old shooter on his third team. Remember that. Started at Stanford, went to Notre Dame, and is now playing in his 6th year at North Carolina.
Cormac Ryan is his name. Cormac Ryan. And yes, on his 6th year. You know, pretty soon all these COVID years are going to finally run out. And I think that'll make for a little bit more normal of a college basketball landscape.
Maybe, but I don't know how they do this in basketball, but in football, if you play 4 games and you either get hurt or you just check out, the year doesn't count. So you can extend. You'll see guys still extending in college because of that. And like Arch Manning last year, that year didn't count, even though he was on the team and played in, I think, 2 games.
Right.
That year didn't count. So that's still going to happen. And, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily bad, but it's not really the spirit of the student athlete.
Comes
into the program and, you know, has to carry the bags for the seniors and, you know, learns on the, gets better over his 4 years. No. There's an opening. Carolina needs a shooter. Oh, well, I'm good. I'll check in there.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Dateline Philly, Temple was off the board this weekend in a wagering sense because of highly unusual activity involving their game. I think it was Thursday night. I think the line surged from -2 one direction all the way across the Rubicon to +8 or something like that. And they were like, okay, something is weird here. And they're investigating if some funny business was going on. Are we headed for a sports gambling reckoning because of how drenched everything is now in gamble, FanDuel, DraftKings, et cetera?
Yeah, I think there's that school of thought too. But remember this, when people were trying to make gambling legal, this goes back, I remember, 20 years ago. And the theory was that if you made it legal, you would tax it and you would monitor it. And therefore, in this kind of situation, you would be able to flag it. Something like this might not have been seen or noticed if we didn't have legal gambling. So in some ways, this might be a good thing.
Oh, well, you can flag it and you can see it. But if they find out that there were a couple kids on the team who were planning to or did try to actively fix the game, that's a disaster. In my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, then you go back to the old point shaving of the 1950s where guys went to jail for that. Yeah. It is that. What I saw, though, I could be wrong about this, but I thought when the line moved from 2.5 to 7.5, they still won by about 20, right?
They did. Yes. UAB was a 1-point favorite. Was at one point an 8-point favorite in the market before the line closed at UAB -7.
Right.
I'm sort of piecing together here. Needless to say, it does make you kind of go, man, we're almost begging for a major gambling scandal at this point, because you know the kids in college are loving all this gambling with their phone. I can't imagine me in college with the chance to bet on sports through my phone, of all things.
Yeah, well, there was a kid at Maryland 20-some years ago, a quarterback there, played briefly in the NFL, got suspended for half of his senior year because he was betting on sports on his, you know, offshore. And now, yeah, I mean, that's totally kosher. There'd be no problem. And they encourage you to do it.
Yeah. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about, feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. All right, pivoting to local sports news. Ted's Playground has hit a snag. A single Virginia senator basically said, yeah, nah, when it came time to even put the vote on funding for the new Caps and Wizards Stadium across the river, just outside of National Airport, up for a vote. And so that has put the whole project in jeopardy.
Yeah. Louise Lucas is the senator, a former longshoreman, or whatever they call a woman who works on the loading docks.
Longshore woman.
Yeah. Yes. And she does not take any crap. And Ted, who always, we know him, always wants to prove that he's the smartest guy
around.
So the day before the vote, he arranges to meet with Louise Lucas, who spends, you know, the time, the Senate meetings in a hotel. So he arranged to meet her the day before. And, you know, Ted, I'm sure his strategy was, I'm going to butter her up. So the first thing he says is, you're a badass. And so she goes, yep, called me a badass. And I liked it. And she said, still, no, 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 no.
Wait a minute. Why did Ted leave this until the last minute?
Well, that's another story that could be very interesting to uncover, because it could have been something that Glenn Youngkin told him, like, don't worry about it. You know, I'll handle all this. Let's just keep rolling along. You keep putting out your propaganda commercials. You keep telling everybody about this beautiful place that you're going to build, and we'll get this through. And then the day before, I guess word was out that she wasn't going to, you know, get this thing through. And so he tried to get in there at the last minute. And she even said something to the effect of, you know, where were you until the day before?
Right. Right. So what is next for old Teddy.com?
Well, there could call a special session. I still think these things eventually get pushed through somehow, some way. But it's not going to happen immediately. And the question is, does he go back and make a new deal with the district, where they were going to provide $500 million for improvements, or does he keep plowing ahead and saying he's going to build this, you know, state-of-the-art, beautiful wonderland in Virginia? I don't know.
Wow. Can you imagine him going back hat in hand to the district and Mayor Bowser, and just how much they'd be like, oh, look who's back.
Well, they screwed up too. She's
I know they screwed up, but this, they would take this to turn the knife on Ted if they could.
Yeah, but they also, you know, they would also.
They also don't want to lose. They don't want to lose the tenants, you know,
right?
Like that part of the city, which you know well, would go straight to shit without those tenants in that building.
Sorry, it's already struggling with crime, but there's an angle to this too. If the district makes a deal with Ted, they have more leverage with the commanders. Right now, if Ted leaves, then the commanders come into D.C. It's like, you better have a football team here if you're not going to have a basketball and a hockey team.
Right.
So
right,
I think there's that angle to it, too.
All right. On to the commanders and what they're going to do at number two. What is the buzz? Because you love buzz. What are you hearing? And has Caleb Williams put the Commanders on his approved list of teams, being from the D.C. area?
I think he would go there, but the sense I get is, and I don't know anything except listening to
the
various experts, yes, is that the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams and the Commanders are going to take Jaden Daniels. But, you know, who knows? Things could change in the next 5 weeks. Who knows?
Okay. So, and why Jaden Daniels versus Drake May?
Because this is the weird waltz that takes place every year in the combine. They go to the combine and some say, oh, Drake May is the best quarterback in the draft. Nope, Caleb Williams. Well, if you don't get Caleb Williams, it's Drake May. And then over the course of a week where nobody threw, none of the three quarterbacks threw at the combine.
Right.
You had Williams, who didn't even agree to get medically tested.
Right.
And somehow over the course of the week, Jaden Daniels shot up like a rocket, with some now saying at the end of the week, well, you might be better off taking Jaden Daniels at number one than Caleb Williams. So I don't know.
Has the combine completely jumped the shark because of this? It is preposterous to think that these quarterbacks are either scared to throw or just are playing this game of, well, I don't have to, so screw you. And when it comes to Caleb Williams, he basically said, I can control what teams have a chance to draft me because I will only grant medical access to the teams I care about. And anyone else will have to take a flyer that I'm medically fine.
Yeah. Although they're, I mean, if you look
you
at
can't
the
30 force team, him, you can't force right. him to go visit a team for a private medical if he doesn't say so.
Okay. But if the Kansas City Chiefs want to give him a private medical, is he really going to go take a private medical from the Chiefs? Right. You know, I mean, certain teams have their quarterback. They're not going to do it. So I don't think that's a big deal.
It wouldn't be a deal breaker per se, but teams don't want to buy something. It's like buying a house without getting an inspection.
Look, people ignore what they want to ignore. And Bobby Bethard was a Hall of Fame general manager. And there had to have been red flags with Ryan Leaf. He ignored all of them. He traded up. He gave away draft picks and players to get to number two, took them anyway. So you'll ignore what you want to ignore. I think that's not that big a deal. As far as the combine jumping the shark, remember there were 350 players there. So, you know, if three quarterbacks didn't throw, I don't think that's that big a deal.
Well, but they're going to be the three top quarterbacks taken. That is a TV show about what, Andy? Quarterbacks.
It's about quarterbacks, no question. But what I'm saying is there are other ways that they can look at these quarterbacks besides the combine. And, you know, it's another thing about this throwing at the combine. It's like when Steve Spurrier went to interview for the job at Florida after he left the NFL, and the athletic director said, well, I'd like to see a resume. He said, check the trophy case down the hall. And I think that with these quarterbacks, you've got, in some cases, 3 years of tape where they say, well, don't you really want to watch that? Isn't that going to tell you a lot more than watching me throw in shorts?
Right. It will. It also won't. I heard a good explanation from Kurt Warner about why it's so hard to project Saturday football to Sunday football for quarterbacks because they've got 4 seconds to throw instead of 2.7. Their wide receivers are open by 5 to 6 yards instead of a foot. They can't throw with timing. They run the same plays all over and over and over again in college. Schemes are simple. The hash marks are wider, which makes a huge difference in the plays you call and how you call them. So it's really a bit of a guess, you know, and they're not always right.
Right. They're probably wrong a lot more often than they're right. If you hit on one, you're lucky. Yeah. And, you know, you've done your research, but by and large, there's a lot of luck factors in it. And it's whether the guy winds up with the right team. You know, if Zach Wilson doesn't go to the Jets and he goes, you know, someplace else, you know, maybe he isn't a bust. I don't know.
Mac Jones was traded this weekend to the Jaguars. Yeah.
For a sixth round pick.
Former first rounder who's got a big pile of starts underneath him, who is theoretically redeemable and refurbishable, a sixth round pick. The word is the Bears can't even find a lone second rounder for Justin Fields. So they are in a bad spot with that situation. I still maintain draft Caleb Williams, keep Fields, and let him compete. Why would you flip Justin Fields for a third and a fourth or something like that, or a second and a fifth, when you could double your bet at QB? Why? Because one person's going to get butt hurt? Because Caleb Williams, people are going to be like, hey, man, we were supposed to have the spotlight here. Fuck you. Compete.
Yeah, and then you also got Justin Fields getting his nose out of joint.
Like, and you say to him, fuck you. Compete.
I agree. And I would do the same thing. I'd also bring Fields in and wait and see what happens. You know, some guy tears a knee up in practice and beats the quarterback desperately. So,
to me, what they're going to pawn Fields off for is not worth it. Like, only a number one pick would be worth it to clear out Fields, in my opinion. But teams have been afraid to confront these quarterbacks who haven't done shit yet. Either, you know, with Caleb Williams, he hadn't even done anything in the pros, and Justin Fields hasn't done much in the pros himself. You should be able to tell both of them, like their running backs, too bad. But no team has found the balls to do it. God, I wish the Bears would.
Well, and also, look at what Tampa did in giving Baker Mayfield $100 million.
Right. That deal also happened this weekend. Three-year, $100 million deal, $50 million guaranteed, so he's like $15 million? He's a $17 million tier two starting QB.
Yeah. I mean, he's like the guy that lives in the neighborhood where you don't have garages. You know, he's got the carport.
He's a carport quarterback.
Carport quarterback. Well,
and $17 million a year, buy a lot of carports.
I understand, but that's the level he's at. And then you have, you know, the Patrick Mahomes who lives in a McMansion. And I guess Tampa has decided, okay, we're really not going to do a whole lot better than this for a while. So let's have him as a placeholder and maybe we luck into somebody. Right. But I don't think Tampa in their heart of hearts says we're going to win a Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield. Do you?
I don't think so. Did you give your eulogy to Chris Mortensen last week on this podcast?
I don't think I did. I knew him not well, but I liked him very much. And the first year that we had the Redskins, 1992, he was our insider on our pregame show.
Get
freelance
out.
Work. Yeah, yeah. And it was always very nice to me, very nice.
Was he with ESPN at the time?
Yeah, he just started. I mean, this is how new things were. And
Who did he write for before ESPN?
He was with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and then he went to the National. And remember, the National,
yes,
lasted a year and a half. And then John Walsh, who was the guy at ESPN who went the journalism route with Peter Gammons and, you know, Kirkjian and people like that, he hired Mort to be their first insider. And you got to remember what an insider was in those days. No cell phones, right? I mean, you were really working at a different level.
You had to call people on landlines and hope they were home and answered.
Yeah, yeah. And occasionally
or,
he would
or
call
at their
me
desk.
About, yeah, he'd call me about a Redskins story, you know, just checking on a detail that I might or might not know.
Really? Nice.
Yeah, I mean,
well, I know this, reading everyone's, you know, retrospectives and eulogies for Mort, it was overwhelmingly, this dude was a great guy. He was somebody who was on the biggest stage ESPN, who could have turned into a total douchebag, but instead was an absolute prince of a human being.
Right. And think about the job that he had to do. I mean, constantly calling people and grinding. And he just had a great relationship with all of his sources. They were, you know, they revered him. And when Peyton Manning retired, he could have done it himself on social media. He gave it to him. You know, that's the kind of respect he had.
Yeah. And I think the most famous clip was him and the Colts owner.
Yeah.
When the Colts owner went after who the hell is Mel Kiper Jr., the GM, I guess, right?
It was the GM of the Colts. And what had happened is that Mel said that the Colts should have taken. Who was the quarterback that went to Tampa in the same Heath Shuler draft? Shuler went 3.
This was 92, I want to say.
94.
Okay. Bill Tobin was.
Bill Tobin was the GM and the guy who was later with ESPN and won a Super Bowl with Baltimore.
1994 NFL draft. Stand by, Andy. Keep talking. The quarterback you were thinking of is Trent Dilfer.
Dilfer, right. Mel said they should have taken Dilfer, and they took Trev Alberts, and clearly they don't understand anything about the draft. And then Tobin said, who the hell is Mel Kiper?
And Mort was the guy there taking the flack, in like holding the mic, doing the interview, keeping calm amidst it. Here's the bite from 1994.
Your response.
Well, you know, we got a guy up there. Who in the hell is Mel Kiper, in a way? I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. In my knowledge of him, he's never ever put on a jockstrap. He's never been a coach. He's never been a scout. He's never been an administrator. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take. We don't have to take anybody that Mel Kiper says we have to take. Mel Kiper has no more credentials to do what he's doing than my neighbor, and my neighbor's a postman, and he doesn't even have season tickets to the NFL.
Unfortunately, somebody on this YouTube page put a very heavy musical track underneath that was not the original music. But yes, what's great is that when this interview was going on during the draft, they cut to Mel Kiper on the set, and Mel had this look like, God, why is this guy killing me? I'm just giving my opinions.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is Mel had been at ESPN 10 years when that happened. It wasn't like he was a complete unknown.
Right.
But you fast forward now 20 years from then, or 30 years. I mean, look at what he's become. It's like, you know, who's this guy strumming a guitar with a bowl haircut? Oh, that's Paul McCartney. He's going to be really big and famous at some point.
You know? Right. Right.
And now in retrospect, here's what happened. They took Trev Alberts, who played like 2 or 3 years and his career ended because of a shoulder injury. The Colts made it that year to the AFC championship game with Jim Harbaugh as their quarterback. So, you know, they were kind of wrong on both counts. Mel was wrong. And so was Tobin.
Yeah. Funny how that is. All right, Andy, great run today. As your people like to say, Geigesund, my friend. Go with God, or fare thee well, right? Did I say that right?
Yeah, I mean, but when you're
partying, what's a good simple goodbye in Yiddish?
Shalom.
Shalom. All right, yeah. Shalom, my friend. Enjoy the warm weather. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Zabe, take care. To me, girl, you know I've done all I can. You see a big stone and I bought one. Yeah. Ooh, that's why I'm easy. I'm easy like Sunday morning.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At MyBookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.